Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey shares his thoughts and reflections on this week's gospel, as well as other issues and events happening in the diocese.
Thank you for joining us on this 15th Sunday in Ordinary Time. I am Jesse DeLeon, here with the Most Reverend Bishop Michael Mulvey. Good morning, Bishop. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Doing well. As always, it is great to be here with you.
Thank you. Yes.
And as we come to the air this morning, we still keep in our thoughts and prayers the families and victims and those affected by the floods in Central Texas. Bishop has issued a very special statement about that, and you can find it on our website at diocesecc.org. We continue to keep those in the area in our prayers. And this Sunday's Gospel is from St. Luke.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
There was a scholar of the law who stood up to test him and said, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" He said in reply, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." He replied to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." But because he wished to justify himself, he said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man fell victim to robbers. As he went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, they stripped and beat him and went off, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down that road, but when he saw him, he passed by on the opposite side. Likewise, a Levite came to the place, and when he saw him, he passed by on the opposite side. But a Samaritan traveler who came upon him was moved with compassion at the sight. He approached the victim, poured oil and wine over his wounds, and bandaged them. Then he lifted him up on his animal, took him to an inn, and cared for him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper with the instruction, "Take care of him. If you spend more than what I have given you, I shall repay you on my way back." Which of these 3, in your opinion, was neighbor to the robber's victim? He answered, "The one who treated him with mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful parable in today's Gospel. This is one that I'm sure is familiar to a lot of people about the Good Samaritan. But there are a lot of different themes running through this gospel.
Yes, there are. And you know, I think with these gospels that we know so well that we could recite from memory, we probably at times don't really enter into the depth of the story. We see it as just a kind of a moment of charity by one person. But there's so much to the story which Jesus is using to illustrate what is essential to our faith, to our religion. And it is always, of course, the core and the heart of our faith is charity. That charity has to be expressed concretely. So it's a gospel that really illustrates the depth of charity and how concrete it is. It's not just a feeling or a thought. And our faith is certainly not just a collection of truths, which it's that as well, but it all serves the fact that we love God and we love our neighbor. And that is, this gospel brings it out so beautifully.
Well, and that is the very first part of the gospel as well. It sounds like the law scholar was just repeating the things verbatim. Maybe they didn't really understand them, but was repeating them to Jesus. Maybe challenging him a little bit by asking him questions and sharing the story.
Right, and I think, you know, the real key to all this is when he asked Jesus, who is my neighbor? And I think there is where Jesus really spoke to him with this parable, but also speaks to each one of us, because we too can ask, in order to accomplish or to fulfill the mandates of this gospel, who is my neighbor? And, you know, I like to focus my own attention in a day. For example, you're my neighbor right now. And, you know, if I'm not loving you now, then I'm not fulfilling the love of God and love of neighbor. If I'm waiting to love the next person, or if I'm at a restaurant, it's the waiter. You know, I think we get into the mode sometimes, well, I'm paying them, so they're serving me. Well, the Christian doesn't have that as their modus operandi. You know, we're always servants to each other. So the neighbor, I think Jesus, the way I interpret this, at least in a concrete terms, is the neighbor is the person who's in front of me in this present moment, not tomorrow, not yesterday, not 2 hours from now, but right now. So the person in front of me right now. And so if you're driving in the car right now on the way to church on this Sunday, and someone's cutting in front of you, that's your neighbor, and you have to love your neighbor. So that question, who is my neighbor? Jesus gives this story to explain the presence of a neighbor, and that is the person that is in front of you right now.
And right now, listening to this gospel, you would assume that the priest and the Levites would have stop to help the man who was robbed, because we think of men who were of priestly vocations, that they would innately be helpful. But in fact, it was the Samaritan who was considered a kind of outcast from society at the time.
They were apart from, and that's the unique side of it, is that there was not somebody that Jesus would call your friend, you know, right. You love your friends and hate your enemies. It's not so much an enemy, but just somebody on the fringes of the society. And so, but, you know, I think you go back to the priest and the Levite, and they can kind of speak to us in the way that we probably have neglected our neighbor. It may not have been out of malice. They may have been in a hurry. Mm-hmm. I've got something to do, or I've got service in the temple. And so they're focused on something else. And because they're so focused on something else or someone else who's not in the present, they missed the opportunity to love a neighbor. And so I think, you know, we sometimes villainize people that, you know, didn't do what they were supposed to, but maybe we don't know what was going on inside of these other two. And Jesus certainly doesn't. It's a parable. But it's an example to us that we can get so wrapped up in our own business or our own schedule or our own wants of what we want to do, that we miss the simple person right next to us. I think how many times we've missed the beauty of speaking to a child because right. They're a child. So we miss that opportunity to love that child. But that's my neighbor. Jesus didn't put an age limit on my neighbor. So it's the beauty, I think, this gospel of who is my neighbor, that mm-hmm. person in front of me right now.
And it was beautiful that the Samaritan said he would. He wanted to pay for the injured man's stay at the inn, and if that wasn't enough, he would come back and make additional payment if necessary. It almost reminds me of taking care of the person behind you when you're in the drive-thru, or maybe the dry cleaners. You just want to maybe take care of the person's bill that is behind you as a gesture, an act of charity. Something that is unanticipated.
Well, I think, you know, that's true. And I think it also brings out and brings to mind, you know, the very action of Jesus, because we always have to look at him as the one who fulfills his own word. I mean, if he's telling us this story, this parable, we can also find it in himself. And we see in the Gospel of St. John where he says Jesus loved his own and he loved them to the end. You know, he went all the way. And so this parable brings that out very clearly. The man concretely picked him up, put him on his animal, took him to the inn, cared for him, and then said to the end, if I owe you anything on my return, I will pay it. So it wasn't a half measure. And so sometimes, again, love is not just a little compassion or a little thought, but it's sticking with it to the end. And Jesus mm-hmm. showed that no greater love than to give your life. And we put so many limitations on our own time, on our own schedules and activities that we miss the treasure of life and the treasure of our faith, our God, our religion, is to love God and love the neighbor concretely to the end. You know, when I was a young priest, I was in the church one day, and I was setting up for a retreat that evening, and I was very busy, and we had banners, and we had everything going, and we'd make sure the air conditioner was on, you know, very focused on this evening of reflection for the parish. So this lady came in, and it was Monday, and she wanted to know if there were any bulletins left over in the church from last Sunday. And so I pointed, well, you know, maybe at the door in the front. So she went over there, and she came back, said, no, there's no bulletins. And the theme of this whole thing was he loved his own, he loved them to the end. So then I said, well, maybe on the side door. And so she went over to the side door and came back and said, there's no bulletins. And I kept thinking, this lady's really in my way because I need to get this done. But I kept looking at that banner, he loved them to the end. And so I said, well, maybe there's some in the sacristy. It's locked, so I'll go. So I went with the key and opened the sacristy, and no bulletins. And I thought, okay, I can just say, well, there's no bulletins. I'm sorry. But I knew there were some at the rectory, at the house, at the offices. So I kept looking at that sign, and I kept saying, he loved them to the end. Don't you get it? Until she has a bulletin in her hands, you have not loved her to the end. You've been focused on what you want to do. And so I said, come with me, and went over there. It's a simple story, but I think it's always kind of been a reflection for me how we can get so focused, as the two other people were in this parable, on our own needs, our own wants, desires, tasks, that we miss the neighbor. And it's funny how that story is probably 30 years old. It's as fresh today as then, because it's really the living of the gospel. So I would encourage all of us today, as you hear this gospel, to put aside, you know, your little tasks and see who the neighbor is and what's awaiting you as you love God by loving your neighbor, and the joy that you receive, because it is a joy to love. Mm-hmm. And to receive the joy of loving that neighbor today who's right in front of you. Don't miss them. They're right there in front of you.
Thank you, Bishop. That is beautiful. We will take a short break, but we will continue our conversation right here on Our Shepherd's View. We will be right back. Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View on this 15th Sunday in Ordinary Time. I am Jesse DeLeon, here with the Most Reverend Bishop Michael Mulvey. And in today's Gospel from St. Luke, we hear the parable that Jesus tells us of the Good Samaritan. And of course, the message is one of charity and mercy. Let's talk about that a little bit more, Bishop.
Well, you know, I think sometimes we separate the two, that mercy is something different from charity. And yet, mercy is the highest expression of charity, because God has shown his love by sending his Son. And who is his Son but Jesus Christ, who's died for us, who to redeem us. And so Jesus himself is the height of expression of God's love, which is mercy. And so it's in that mercy shown in God the Father in sending his Son that we really receive mercy.
Right, right. And then you've talked about this on the program before. It's easy to show mercy when people are nice, but it's really a challenge to show mercy when they aren't as kind as you might hope they would be. Or maybe they're unfamiliar, like if someone cuts in front of you when you're driving. It's a lot more difficult to show mercy in those types of situations. How do we work through that?
Exactly. Well, you know, you have to, I'd say, first and foremost, stay connected to the first commandment to love God. I heard it said once, you know, it's like a hose connected to the bib at the wall, the outside wall in your garden. If you don't keep the hose connected to the faucet, the water runs all over the place. And so it's too for us, if we don't stay connected to the source of mercy, the source of love, we'll never learn to be merciful. And so for us, obviously, that's time with God. You know, right. We have to give God that time. In fact, I just saw this week something about the Christians need to recuperate an exterior silence and an interior silence in order to know God from within, in the presence of God. It's not just about, you know, the activities that we do for God, but it's knowing God within. So spending time with that first commandment to love God, and then listening to the gospel. I mean, Jesus himself said, if you only love those who love you, what good is there in that? You know, even the hypocrites can do that. What I say to you is to love your enemy. And there is really the test. That neighbor that is the enemy, which again can be your next door neighbor that you love very much, your husband, your wife, your child. But in any moment, you know, when they'll go against me or they're challenging me or call me a name, I mean, in a sense, you know, stretching it a bit, they're an enemy. But to show mercy even then is really the test. And the strengthening as an athlete, St. Paul used to use the image of an athlete. It's really practicing to love our neighbor because we are showing the love of God to them without expecting anything in return. That's really where it's all at.
And would that be saying, too, that we may not agree with other people because we really can't all agree, but we can be kind and show mercy and treat them as we would want to be treated?
Right. And then I would also add to that is to not the next minute go talk behind their back. I mean, I think we can do that, you know, in front of somebody or in a group. We can be nice. We can be kind. But as soon as we're with that comfort group, we might stab somebody in the back. And that is undoing any kind of mercy that we may have shown. And our intent has to be pure. I, you know, always find that as a challenge is, you know, to really love because God is love. And the more that we love, the more that we know God's presence in our life. So we have to be pure in our intentions.
And if we have those negative thoughts, it's almost like, well, we're being negative toward God.
Sure, sure. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. If you can't love the God, if you can't love the person you can see, St. Mm-hmm. John says, how can you love the God you cannot see? And so it's really all, I don't know how to put it. It's like a real, but it's our life. You know, it's our stadium. Right. You want to look at Christianity as that athletic event, spiritual athleticism, if that's the word. The neighbor and these kind of rapports is really our stadium. And that's where we learn the mm-hmm. love of God. And the more that we love as God loves and as God has loved us, the more we really believe in the presence of God in our life and in our world.
And as it was said in the gospel, that's the way to eternal life, to show mercy and love to your neighbor.
Exactly. Absolutely. Go and do the same.
So we know how to do that in our daily lives. It would be to look at everyone and show love and mercy and not talk behind people's backs, because that tends to undo the good that we set out to do. Thank you, Bishop. We appreciate your time and your insight today on this 15th Sunday in Ordinary Time. If you would now end with a prayer and a blessing.
Lord, we thank you for your word, which is a lamp to our feet. It helps us to walk in this world, not only in the way of comfort, but also in the way of truth. As we encounter neighbors each day, we ask you to help us to see that this is our opportunity to love you by loving our neighbor. May we do so this week and see that each neighbor is an opportunity to love you. Bless our families and all those who are in need of our prayers today and always. And we ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. Our Shepherd's View is a production of 89.5 KLUX and the Diocese of Corpus Christi's Office of Communications and Public Relations. You can hear the podcast of this program at goccn.org. Thank you for listening.